In sports, coaches make a game plan for the team to defeat the opponent. And what they do is they study the opponent, they make plays, they make adjustments, and they make all these different things. And in light of this game plan, I asked the Baylor men's basketball coach, Scott Drew, I said, Coach Drew, what does it take to make a game plan? In fact, I even asked him, what does it really take to beat Kansas in basketball? Like, what does it take for you as a coaching staff? And this is what he said. He said, our staff will watch 5+ games. He'll watch the opposing team 5 different times, each of the coaches, and they'll watch all the different special situations. And then they'll even go through 2 days of prep and walkthrough based on what they see in these films. And then they'll even have practice videotape that they'll watch and how the game plan has worked out and all these different things. And so roughly it ends up being about 50 hours of prep for a 2-hour game, and usually all within a 4-day period. That's the game plan. In the same way, I want you to know that the devil has a game plan. It's to keep us from living our lives to the full, and it's to keep us from being fruitful in this pandemic. And I would venture to say one of the easiest ways that the devil steals, kills, and destroys is through sin. And I've seen different sins kind of creep in during this pandemic. There are the ditches that we fall to, that we tend to turn to. And I've honestly seen a rise in some of these things. And I'll just name a few. First, fear, worry, insecurity. Constantly fearing, what if our control has been exposed, as we talked about last week. In addition, selfishness is at an all-time high. We're constantly giving our opinions, constantly complaining about leadership at Baylor and all these different things. Selfishness, all-time high. Lust, we have more idle time than ever before to scroll through and get lost. It leads to pornography, masturbation, loneliness, all these different things that are involved within lust. We just have more time. We're scrolling more than ever. Laziness and sloth. Gluttony, alcohol abuse, tobacco abuse, any use of a substance to numb, even if it's just a drink. We've all seen that we tend to numb with different things. We turn to different things to numb. It could be something as simple as ice cream. These are some of the sins that the enemy has let creep in more than ever before in and through this pandemic. And last week, what we talked about was that we are going to learn what it looks like to navigate the new normal together. But before we get to being ministers and what it looks like to live in the new normal as God's chosen people, as ministers of reconciliation and all these different things, before we get to that, we must stop and just acknowledge that so many of us, we keep looking in and looking back because we're stuck in sin, and the enemy's game plan is working on some of us. And so before we get to the ministry, we need to take a look at how sin has many of us stuck. Sin is keeping us from moving forward. It's keeping us from being the ministers and peacemakers and joyful people that God has called us to be. Our sin is keeping us from loving those around us, being prayerful, secure, and caring. And so before we get to all the rest, we're going to take some time to look to Proverbs, the book of wisdom. We're going to be in Proverbs 7, and we're going to learn about grace and guardrails tonight. We're going to start by looking at the guardrails, and these guardrails are those things that keep you from falling off the edge into ditches or off of cliffs. That's kind of the image I'm going to paint tonight as we learn how to guard. We're going to look at Proverbs 7. This book is filled with wisdom. And Proverbs 7 in particular is a story about wisdom where it's somebody speaking to a son, as we'll see in just a moment. And it's teaching the son how to live wisely and not go to sexual sin in particular is what we're going to look at. But we're going to take from this passage different ways that we can guard, not just from sexual sin, but all sin. And so will you turn in the scriptures with me? Let's start with verses 1-3. It says this. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. We'll stop right there. We're going to try to get through as much of this chapter as we can tonight. And what we see is the first way that we guard, the first guardrail that we put up, the first way we guard is by guarding with God's word. This father is talking to this son and he's saying, keep my words, keep my commandments, keep my teaching. Guard with God's word. The first way we guard ourselves from sin in the new normal and really always is with God's word. How does a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to the word. Psalm 119. What I love from this passage that says, keep my commandments and you will live. This is actually where we find life. God's word helps us to live by God's design, and that is where true fullness of life is found. John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Christ himself, has come to give life, and life abundantly, life to the full. It comes from following Christ and his word. And you know what's crazy about this? Just a quick aside, is that Satan knows God's word. And so we have to know it all the better. He's crafty, just like in Matthew 4 when Jesus is tempted. Jesus responds with scripture, which is a great example to us. But what's crazy is Satan responds back with scripture. And so it's very important that we guard with God's word. But what's crazy is many of us just spend 15 minutes, you know, playing Bible roulette. We're like, okay, I'll just turn to Matthew 22, the seven woes. I don't know what that's about, but I'll try to figure out what's going on here. We don't have a plan. We think 15 minutes in passing while eating breakfast and running to class is what's going to fix or check our box, so to speak. That's guarding our hearts according to God's word. I don't think that's the case. Does 15 minutes in a rush sound like guarding and treasuring and binding on our fingers and writing them on the tablets of our hearts? That's what it looks like. 15 minutes just in a rush is not it. We guard with God's word by knowing it, by memorizing it, by spending time with it, by slowing down with it, sitting with it. Just as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, she sat, she listened, she received. That's what we do with God's word, and we learn it over time. And some of you are like, man, I'm not very good at memorizing. I'm not very good at this or that. Here's an illustration of what it looks like to know, to guard, to have maybe bind things on our fingers or write them on the tablet of our hearts or treasure something. Here's a good example for me. I will never forget this. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous. But on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking out. What? Right? Like, I know the song, because like in kindergarten, it was all I listened to. It was what we would turn on all the time. I don't know when it was in my life, but I memorized it. We listened to it. The dumb song. It's so stupid, but I know it, and I don't think I'll forget it. I could just start and stop any moment. You just, when you see me, you could be like, hey, Dale, drop the beat, let's hear it. You know, I'm in, I know it. It's written. I don't think it's going away. I don't remember much from college, but I remember that song from like middle school, right? Why? Because I spent time with it. I listened to it over and over again. I repeated it. I showed it to other people. I did all these different things. We can write things on our hearts in a way that years later, we can still know them. We can still live by them. We can even still jam to them. If we can learn TikTok dances, then we can learn God's word. They both require one thing, and that's time. And maybe it's helpful to have a little bit of skill. You know how it is? Anyways, all right. First thing, guard with God's word. Let's keep looking. Starting in verse 6, let's look at the second way that we can guard. We're going to do 6 through 13 here. For the Father is at the window of his house, and he's looking out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner. taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. Let's stop right there. There is so much here, and there just isn't enough time to unpack it all. But this father is looking out of the window, and he sees a young man being an idiot. He's going down the path at night. He's going down the path towards this adulterer, this woman who's dressed as a prostitute, who is flattering this young man. This is the enemy's strategy. Is to get you on the road, because once you get to the road, it leads to a particular place. And the enemy and sin are so good at convincing us. You see this, she kisses him and seizes him. Sin makes you feel special. This is such a beautiful picture of sin. It's so deceptive. It looks so desirable in the moment. It's so good at convincing us. It makes us feel like it's $1 million, and it leaves us empty. You see, the enemy has this game plan. The enemy has this strategy, and we must guard with the strategy. We must see that there's a street that leads somewhere, and we got to keep ourselves from getting on that street that leads to sin. So we must have this strategy. And so if you struggle with numbing with substances, as I mentioned earlier, maybe you need to pour every single drink down the drain. And flush every drug, throw away every jewel, ask your roommates to help you, tell them what you're doing, ask them to not put those things in the fridge or even have them in your house, and ask them to help you with this. Or if your friends are the very people that are supplying those things or encouraging those things, I'd invite you to do, as one of my friends once said, change your playmates in your playgrounds. That what it looks like is some of you may need new friends. Especially on Fridays and Saturday nights. Maybe it's not hanging out with those people that lead you down the path of sin. Maybe it's hanging out with another group of people. Maybe it's being strategic with our time, especially at night, just as it says in the night and the darkness in verse 9. Maybe we need to be mindful of that. We need to guard with a strategy. We must have a strategy. If you struggle with pornography, then you need to remove access. Keep your bedroom door open. Get someone to put restrictions on your phone. I personally have zero apps on my phone other than the Vertical app. I'm not kidding. I have nothing else. We don't need anything else. I used to just keep social media on my iPad. And I would only look at it, and I would keep it at work, and I would keep it in specific places where I wouldn't be caught up in it. You see, sin is like a snowball. It starts small. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but over time it builds speed and it starts rolling down this hill, and it gets harder and harder to stop the snowball. And so I'm inviting you to guard with a strategy. Stop now. I promise it will be harder to stop later. That hill is steep and the snowball just grows and grows. Strategy is stopping the snowball. Strategy is keeping us from the streets and the things that lead us to sin. This week, I've tried to have a strategy on how to be less selfish, which is kind of funny, but one thing I've noticed is that I've walked around Baylor and spent time with students and even spent time with friends. I was playing volleyball last night. I sit down and a girl asks me, "So how long do you think until Baylor, you know, goes online?" And I've been asked this question so many times, and I actually think we're wasting our words by sometimes talking about some of these things. There are certain aspects of COVID-19 and a pandemic that we need to discuss, but my opinion on how long school will last does not matter. And no offense, neither does your opinion. We can divert that conversation to, man, I have no idea. My opinion doesn't matter, but we can share maybe stories of how God's been working this week. Let's just swerve that into something more meaningful, right? Or just absolutely anything else in the world. I've noticed that we can get home and it's just the go-to thing. And I really think it's serving ourselves because it gives us an opportunity to share what we think and complain and this and that. And I really think that some of it can be good, but a lot of it is just rooted in selfishness. And we have to have a strategy for how to divert in those moments. So even I've been trying to think that way this week because we're wasting our words, and we will keep wasting our words if we don't have a strategy. So first, we guard with God's word. Second, we guard with a strategy. Third, let's turn to verse 19 and keep reading. For my husband is not home. This adulteress says, my husband is not home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. As an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. You see, at the very beginning, she says, my husband's not home. We're not going to get caught. There will be no consequences. And then at the very end, it points out all at once, he follows her like an ox to the slaughter. He does not know it will cost him his life. The third way we can guard is by knowing the consequences. We can guard by knowing the consequences. Sin wants you to think that there will be no consequences when in reality, sin will kill you. I'd say especially sexual sin, like an ox to the slaughter, it will cost you your life. And so what do we do about this? Like, how do we guard in this way? We guard by knowing the consequences. We write out the consequences to sin. The guilt that it brings, the shame, the feelings that it brings, the ways it ruins relationships and friendships and all these different things. Another way to look at sin is it's like this baby tiger. Y'all saw Tiger King, like, you know, they start out cute, right? And then all of a sudden it'll just bite your leg off, right? Sincerely, like, that's what we forget. We think it's just this little thing that we can handle and that we can enjoy whenever we want, but we don't realize we're feeding a beast. They'll bite you like they never knew you. And so we guard first with God's word, second with a strategy, and third by writing out the consequences. I'm going to invite you to do that in these coming moments after I finish. During the discussion time, maybe you need to split up guys and girls, but I want you to spend some time answering the questions and talking to people about what is going to be our strategy. What are the consequences that we face to sin and all these different things? And so that is how we have a game plan. That is how we guard up. Here's the funny thing about this passage. And even about you and me. Is that we love focusing on sin and not the Savior. We love to focus on fixing ourselves. We love self-help. We love trying to work our way for God to love us. And I want you to see something at the beginning of this passage that I mentioned earlier, but we just kind of skipped over. And it's this. The first two words are, my son. My son. This is a father speaking wisely to the son. This is a father giving wisdom to a son. This is a father trying to help a son. He wants what's best for his son. You see, God the Father is similar. We think God is trying to rip us off when we're not meant to turn to sin, but in reality, he's trying to set us free. You see, in sin, we've been separated from the Father. And we've become spiritual orphans. It reminds me of Luke 15, the parable of the two lost brothers, specifically the prodigal son, actually acts on this. He's the son that runs away in Luke 15. He goes and he sleeps with prostitutes, just like the proverb says. It's the story of the prodigal son. He's living it out, and the father runs out, and he shows him love. And even the older brother isn't home. Even the older brother's an orphan. Both sons are actually orphans. They have hearts of orphans because they've sinned. They've been separated from the father. The older brother's just self-righteous, thinks too highly of himself. It's keeping him from being at home with the father, and we too have sinned that has kept us and separated us from the father. But God the Father has run toward us with open arms and forgiven us of all sin and invited us home. He's adopted us. And that adoption cost the Father a great deal, his one and only Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, died a death on the cross that he didn't deserve, and rose from the dead on our behalf. That is good news. That is grace. You see, guardrails don't change us. Grace changes us. It's the grace that changes our identity. It's the grace that we have that makes us sons and daughters. It's by grace that we have an inheritance. It's by grace that we have freedom to succeed and freedom to fail. It's by grace that over time we're at home with God Himself and we become like the Father. You see, guardrails are helpful, but grace is what changes us. Abiding is that word we always talk about. The root word abode is home. It's being at home with the Father, and over time we become like the Father. And so, yes, we're meant to put up guardrails and have a game plan, but more importantly is my last point, which is grace before guardrails. Each and every day, grace should come before every guardrail that we put up. Self-help, as I said, won't fix you. Doing more won't fix you. You can't fix you. It's a work by grace through the love, through the word, through the Spirit of God the Father. That's what changes us. You see, Christianity is about grace and love shown on the cross. It's not behavior modification. It's actually grace, and over time, our behavior changes because we're in right relationship with the Father, so we look more like the Father. You see, God's love always comes before we live by God's design. And so again, the cross is where the blood of Christ was shed for all the times we went into the ditches of sin, we went over the guardrails. And the resurrection is what gives us hope and victory and what helps us out of the ditches. It just brings us out of the ditches. The guardrails are our hearts and us simply saying, I'm still prone to wander. So I'm going to do what I can to put up guardrails. I'm going to do what I can to guard from that. And so what do we do about this? We have some guardrails, but of course we have some grace first, it seems like. What's the next step? Like, first is to confess our sins. Let's confess our sins to one another, to somebody. Bring things to the light. Anything that we need to put guardrails up against first need to be confessed to somebody else and to God Himself. Second is to accept the grace of Jesus Christ, that we're loved by the Father and it's been proven by the Son. And so we have to accept that. There's nothing we can do. It's a free gift that we receive. And because of this, we remind ourselves of this good news, this grace, daily. So grace, then we guard. So in summary, we guard with God's word, we guard with a strategy, and we guard by knowing the consequences. But grace must come before the guardrails. As I started, we need a game plan. The devil has one. It's to get us stuck in sin and keep us from being used by God. My question is, how are you going to have a game plan? Do you have one? How are you going to remind yourself daily of this grace? And are there any guardrails you need to put up in place because it is leading you to sin and different things are leading you to sin? And as I close, I want to just take a moment to ask a question. And the question is, will you forgive me? Because at a certain point during COVID, I lived this. There were days where I took streets to sin that I didn't usually take. I put my guard down. I would scroll through media filled with jealousy and lust. I would eat or have a drink to numb. I'd be lazy and just blame COVID. And a few weeks ago, I had to get rid of all media. You can't find me. I had to start exercising again to be disciplined. I had to let some more people in to what is happening and the ways that I was compromising slightly here and there. But by grace, I had a wake-up call. There's no telling where that snowball of sin would have led me. So it's by grace I stand before you and say, let's put up the guardrails and let's live by grace. I don't want to know where that snowball would have gone. I want to be free as a son. I want you to be free as a son and daughter, and I want us all to be used by God. In this new normal, we must not concede to the game plan of the enemy, but rather we must remind ourselves of the grace each and every day that's been shown to us on the cross, and let's put up guardrails and let's not let the enemy have an ounce of way. Not give him a single yard in this war. Please, would you join me in living as the free sons and daughters that we were meant to be? That is how we change the world at any point in life, and especially in the new normal. I'm gonna pray that you would. God, we just thank you for your word that gives us wisdom, that points us to how, yes, we can put up guardrails and we can be mindful of the way sin works against us and the game plan of the enemy. But Lord, more importantly than the game plan of the enemy, we give you great thanks for the abundance of grace and mercy that you have shown us through your son Jesus on the cross. God the Father, we praise you. We praise you for adopting us as sons and daughters. We praise you for doing the work that we couldn't do. We've fallen short of your glory, oh God. We praise you. We give you thanks, Father. We turn to you like the prodigal son, we return home. Like the older brother that's self-righteous, we return home. No matter if our sin is big or little in our eyes, Lord, we return home because we are sinners in need of a Savior, in need of your grace. And by your grace, would you help us put up guardrails so we wouldn't turn to sin because we're prone to wander? Would you give us the humility to put up guardrails, to confess sin, to let other people in, to have community hold us accountable? Lord, would you use us in this new normal? Would you keep us from sin? Would we not concede to the enemy's game plans, but rather, as your scripture says, would the enemy not be able to, the gates of hell will not be able to withhold. They cannot come close to your power and your greatness. We will overcome. We will have victory by your blood. So we pray that you would give us this victory by your grace. Would you help us to live by grace and with guardrails? In your name we pray. Amen.